The following program does not necessarily represent the views and opinions of Reality Radio 101, its advertisers and sponsors, or its listening audience. Listener discretion is advised. Good afternoon and welcome to Barrington Awaken with your host Barrington right here on Reality Radio 101. Join our path to enlightenment with our guidance to living at your best with a path to a higher consciousness. To get on board right now, send us an email. Our email address is instudio101@gmail.com. And now, ladies and gentlemen, right to your host of Barrington Awaken, Barrington.
A Buddha was sitting in his comfort of his home, relaxing. A man came to his door, banged on the door, and this Buddha got up and opened the door, and there was a man there yelling at him and screaming. I mean, really cussing this guy out. He's angry and he's furious. And the Buddha stood there, arms folded, and watched this man and listened, and he with a smile on his face, on the Buddha's face. And the angry man is freaking out. And the Buddha, when he finally gave a second to take a breath, the Buddha says, "Do you get guests coming to your house?" He said, "Of course I do." He says, "Do you invite them in and you treat them well and you cater to them?" He goes, "Of course, that's what you're supposed to do as a guest." And this man's very angry. And the Buddha says, "Well, if they reject the gifts that you offer them, or even reject coming into your home and the pleasantries that you offer them, what happens to all those things?" And the angry man replied, "Well, they're mine. They belong to me." And the Buddha says, "That's the exact same situation we have here. You, sir, could keep your anger and leave. Keep it. Don't affect my mood. And you could go away." As the Buddha smiled and walked away, leaving the man standing at the front door, confused. But he realized what the Buddha was saying is, all this anger and frustration, it belongs to you, and I don't want you to offer me any of it. I am going to reject it. And the man walked away, still holding on to his anger and rejection. And the Buddha walked away with a smile and kept himself composed, as he did before this man showed up at his front door. I just thought I'd throw that out there at you. Thank you for being a part of the show today. You're listening to Barrington on Reality Radio 101. What we do here is we talk about raising you to a higher level of consciousness. Welcome to all of you being there and supporting our show. What we talk about here is to raise you to a higher level of consciousness and for you to become the awakened one. Self-realized. Eyes are wide open. Third eye is visible. You're able to see with the third eye, and you wake up to know that the God exists is you. The thoughts that you have are not yours. They've come from the universe collectively. This is what happens. When you pick one of those thoughts to hang on to, you are allowing the thought to shape the person that you are. Become. If you are good and all of a sudden you're taking all these bad thoughts, well, guess what's going to happen? Or if you're bad and you want change, guess what's going to happen? And you pick. When you take that negative thought and you put it into your life, or positive, whichever it is, it takes an imprint of that thought, it places in your brain, and your body, entire body, is going towards that image that you are holding of yourself. Yes, you are today the thoughts you had about you yesterday. If you want change, think about what you will want for tomorrow and begin the work towards it. When you showed up here, and I say this all the time, you had all the qualifications with you that will get you through life, make you become enlightened, and live without a heavy burden or a load to carry. I was told recently that most people, on their last moments of being in the body, will say, one of my biggest regrets is I didn't work. I wish I hadn't worked so much. I wish I had taken the middle ground. And the middle ground is generally where you want to make, sustain life and make enough to survive, and you have a good life. Of course, we can assume what under that level would be. And of course, the high achiever, much above that level, will also keep you running to accomplish something that you won't necessarily be satisfied with once you get it. You spend most of your life working, looking for something, and when you get there, all you want is more. And when you get to that more, all you want is some more. So seeking the middle ground would be the best step for every single one of us. I want to thank you for joining the show. I got a thing there emailed the other day, and the person was saying, oh, you obviously celebrate Easter, and in doing so, you're believing in the birth of Christ and the resurrection and all these things that goes along with Easter. Well, I said, of course I celebrate Easter, but I believe I get to sit with my family, have a good time, get a couple of days off, relax, and be happy. Do we run around and chase rabbits for chocolates, or do we? We're not anymore. We did when the children were young. Now I celebrate it simply because it's a wonderful time to get along with family and friends. I don't know if there's much more than that that I want to celebrate on Easter Day. Having said all that, I want to wish every single one of you out there who believes in the holidays, be it Passover, be it Easter, or whatever else, it's Ramadan, and all of the good stuff that's happening for you this weekend, please enjoy it to the best of your ability and support it and keep the tradition alive. It's what has been done for many, many, many generations. I appreciate that. So I say happy holidays to everybody and welcome to Barrington Awaken. You're listening to Barrington. We're talking about raising you up to a higher level of consciousness. We want to set you on the path of becoming realized, where you're consciously awake, fully awake, and you see all the goodness that exists in the world. The reason I told the story of the Buddha today, as soon as I opened, is simply to say we have a method to react to other people's illness towards us. There's several methods. And by taking on what they're trying to throw at you is only going to make your life a little bit more difficult, maybe stressful, or whatever the case may be. If you choose not to take other people's BS, their negativity, their abuse, everything, you can just simply shun it away by not allowing it to become a part of you, and you could retaliate or give it back with a smile and wish them luck. That was the reason I told that story today. I want to thank all the longtime listeners, new listeners, everybody who's around from anywhere you are in the world today. Thank you for tuning in, and please enjoy your holiday and make fun. Thank you for being there to everybody, old time listeners, welcome home. I say welcome home because the path of spirituality is where your home is, and home is usually where your heart is. We've been taken away from that path, and we're trying our best to get you back onto it, if it is your will. Can't We could take that horse to the water. We can't make him drink it. But the purpose of this, and a lot of people's asked me, why do you do a show like this? And I said, a lot of the times the people just don't know. They haven't been told about it. They haven't been introduced to it. They're not aware of a spiritual life. They're not aware that the load that they carry, they picked it up on their own. This position that they're in, they ordered it. The negativity that goes on through your life, you brought it on. And a lot of us do worry about things that will never happen. We're carrying a lot of load and it's not necessary. We're talking about the enlightened one, and that is where you're woke and you are now consciously aware of who you are as a human being and what it's like to live in a spiritual world. Today we want to reflect on thoughts. And the idea, the first question is, are they yours? Do you think they're unique to you? And can you get rid of them when you know when they no longer serve a purpose? Well, the answer to the first one is, are they yours? No, they're not. Are they unique? Absolutely not. It comes from the existence of who we are in the spiritual world that we're part of. It comes in, much like this broadcast is coming to you through a very specific channel, and you could pick it up and hear what I'm saying. If you're attuned to this channel, you get all the messages. So when you're out there in human world, in life, the messages that you get, they're all around you. The ones that you listen to are the ones that may be in your favor. A lot of us are listening to the negative ones, thinking bad things are likely to happen, or you spend a lot of your time wishing that this would happen to somebody else, or you wish that you could be that person, and that could never happen either, because you are too busy being you. This is where you find yourself and find out the true you. The thoughts are, if you think for 1 minute that the thoughts were individual and personal, how come at some point in your life you look at somebody and goes, hey, I know what you're thinking. And they will agree that you were both on the same channel at the same time. Oh, I just had that thought. And people will react to it. Says, yeah, me too. And all these things. Therefore, if it was unique, that all of that wouldn't be possible. So I'm sure you've been in that situation before. You're sitting beside your spouse or a friend or somebody you know very well, and you both react to a thought that you had, which means that you both had it pretty much at the same time. So they're not an individual note message delivered to you. It's out there, and we tap onto it. Now, for a lot of people, they pick up on something that could be harmful to them and they hold on to that thought. Or they say, I got a message from, you know, a God of some sort or whatever it is, and they hold on to that thought. And when you're holding on to it, you're making it real. You're creating your own path based on that thought that you just had. If you think you're going to be the heavyweight champion of the world and you hold that thought, it will happen. Don't let it go for any reason. Do all the necessary work that is required to get you to that point. Take all the steps, and it will happen based on your desire. And if the wealth is what you seek, the same thing is truth. If it is something you want, you create it. You hold a thought when it comes to you, and you hold on to that. It becomes you. You are today what you thought yesterday or some days ago. So you can very clearly be who you want to be tomorrow. We're talking about the thoughts, and are they individual? Do they belong to you? Are they personal? Does anybody else get these thoughts? Of course they do. I would think that if you lived in this part of the world and an idea of having a system where you could communicate with somebody without even seeing them and, you know, just have a radio thought, and that would be amazing, where you could send a message, send some sort of a smoke signal or a text or something. You could communicate with somebody who's not near you. That's not a new thought. That's been around forever. Now, if you lived in an area somewhere else in the world and you have no idea how to get this thing done, and I'm talking about what we're doing right now with the telephone, internet, all the media stuff that's out there. But if you lived in a part of the world that has not been developed yet, you dismiss that thought. Yeah, that's just such a crazy idea. But the next person who picks it up will say, maybe it's not. And one step to another step to another step leads us into doing this radio show where you could listen and see how it is. Our thoughts is what make us who we are. The question we're talking about, what we're talking about today is, are they unique? Are they unique to you? The image of who you are today, and you have to take a good soul look at who you are, what you have become. If you gingerly step back in your thought patterns and see where you've gone, see what you've done, you will realize what you have created, how you have made who you are today. How did I get here? Well, you thought about it. You know, what happened to me? Well, it was a thought that you had. You know, why is it so hard for me to deal with? Well, you created it. Much like the man that was knocking on the Buddha's door. He brought his anger to go share it, and the Buddha started to just say, hey, you know what? That belongs to you. You better just keep it. If there's something in your path that you're not happy with, you have the ability to remove it. Is it the habit? You have the ability to remove it. Is it abuse? You have the ability to remove it. Emotions, fear. Fear. If it's fear, you definitely have all of it. You definitely have the ability to remove. And one of the big ones I would say, go to it right away, as fast as you can, is if you have fear and you're living with it, try to remove it because it doesn't serve you well. It restricts you and make you a lot smaller than you can be. Wake up. Is what we talk about. Where do your thoughts come from? Well, it's a part of our existence. It's a part of our universe. It's a part of our life, much like the air. Where does the air come from? And they travel and they lodge themselves. When you get them into your mind, you have the choice of running along, holding on to it, and running with it. That's a brilliant idea. I'm going to hold on to that one. And then you follow it, and eventually it becomes a part of you. So if you had a thought and it was anger, the same thing would happen because you're holding on to that. And to me, anger is, anger is like drinking poison and thinking that the next man's gonna die. If somebody you hate, if somebody you don't like, or somebody you're angry with, you're drinking poison and you're hoping that the person is gonna die. Well, that's not even possible. And that's what you're doing to yourself when you carry this load of anger. Today we're talking about thoughts and thinking. And I wanna talk a bit about the differences between the brain and the mind, because a lot of people are confused with the brain and the mind being the very same. Well, the brain is just a fleshy part of an organ that's in your head. The thoughts are every single cell that's within your body and its entire universe, because we're part of that. They're completely separate. Do they work together? Yes. But one sends a message to the other one, and the other one utilizes it throughout the body. That's the brain. So there's quite the difference between the two. The thoughts are every single thing about you, your cells, all of it, as many as you've got. And apparently there's a lot of them. But it's a lot far more reach than the brain. Right? The brain is just for the body, physically for the body. So the thoughts and the brain.
Oh, Barrington, we seem to be losing you. You're cutting out a little bit.
And the mind and all that stuff. You need to understand. Are you back there now?
You are back, yes.
Okay, let's go with what we've got on our text while I try to figure out what's going on over here.
Okay, regarding emails, folks, if you're just tuning in, we know it's a special day for a lot of people, and you may not be, But if you are, you are listening to Barrington Awaken with, of course, your host, Barrington. You can write Barrington right now in studio 101 at gmail.com. That's in studio 101 at gmail.com. Two happy Easters for you, Barrington. Claire wrote in and Claire said, "Happy Easter to Barrington, one of my favorite radio shows." That's from Claire. And Brad also wrote in, "Happy Easter to Barrington and his staff at the radio station." That's from Brad. Andy wrote in, and I think you answered this already for Andy. Andy said, "I liked your opening story, but I didn't quite get what it was about." That's from Andy. Excuse me. Thank you, Andy. And lastly, we got two more. Daryl wrote in, and Daryl said, "If it's our will to get back on track, who gives us that will? Isn't it free will? Isn't that biblical?" That's Daryl about free will. And lastly, Ernie wrote in, "Barrington, do you believe in deja vu? And if so, explain what that is exactly." That's from Ernie, and back to you.
Okay. That's a tough one. Deja vu. That's deep. I need to roll that around in the back of my head for a minute. It's where you've experienced a part, something you're familiar, you've seen it for the second time. You've been here before. I have been here before. That's my deja vu. I'm experiencing
deja vu. Well, Barrington, if you can hear me again, you're chopping out, if you can hear me. We seem to be losing Barrington. Folks, you can write in studio101 at gmail.com, and we'll see if Barrington's back. Are you there? We seem to have some audio issues with Barrington. Folks, if you'd like to get on board again, you could email us at instudio101 at gmail.com. That's instudio101 at gmail.com. And Barrington, are you there? Okay, folks, stay tuned. We're going to see if we can get Barrington back on the air here. Stay tuned. You're listening to Barrington Awaken on Reality Radio 101. Hello, welcome back, sir.
Welcome back. I'm not sure what's going on. Of course, I'm in the studio and our connection is going all over the place here.
Yeah.
I don't know how much they've caught. However, we're talking about deja vu. Do I believe it? Yes. I think we've visited many places on this property before. And because when you get there, something flashes in this people you've met or places you've been, and you've said, I've been here before. Well, our lives are continual. And when you finish this tour of duty, you will be rebirthed and you will start again. Is it familiar? Is it possible that we've come back on the same path? Absolutely. But that choice is done by you. Do I believe in deja vu? I do. And I think just the ability to experience something for a second time or third time is our greatest asset, one of the greatest assets of our life. Oh, how do you get back on track and who gives you the free will? Isn't that what free will is all about? Okay, well, get back on track. I hope that you're asking that, you're thinking that something has all gone off for you and you want to better it and move into a better place. If that's the reference that you're making, if that's what the reference you're making is to how to get back on track, it's by changing your attitude. It's by changing your attitude. You know, when you have a person in your life that's just horrible, let's say as an example, a mate or a spouse, or change your attitude and it'll change the situation. Once you've changed your attitude, you've changed your mind. Once you've changed your mind, you're not that same person. If you're not that same person, you know, maybe you're the one that showed up at the Buddha's door, knocking on the door, trying to give off what you don't, you shouldn't be doing. Change your attitude is the best way to get back up on your feet. And the attitude will reflect the new you that you're going to work on, that you're going to make best, put it up front, create an image of the life that you want. Yeah, the best thing to do is to change your attitude. And do we have free will? Well, if the thoughts that comes to us is all universal and we all get the same thoughts, depending on where we live or sort of my weird analogy is sort of the station that you're tuned into. Are you in the church person? Are you in the rebellious people? Are you the hunter? If you're there, you will likely pick up on a lot of the thoughts that's coming through that same channel, and people of birds of that feather will flock together. So you're more likely to be connected to people. Like-minded people is what we sought out. This is what we're looking for, like-minded people. When you find a group or a gang and you're thinking the way they do, maybe you didn't originally, but once you get involved in it, then you start thinking like them, like that group, be it whatever group it is. So you are being now tuned into a new channel, and you're going to get those thoughts that come in, because they do. This is why a lot of the times we talk about meditation, and what you do when you're meditating is to remove those thoughts. There's a lot of them that will come into your mind, because that's what thoughts do. A lot of them will come to you, and what you will end up doing is picking the ones that is in your favor. I hope it's not to go out and do harm to another person or hurt yourself, any of that. Maybe it's to better yourself and to do positive things and try to give to others, to adopt a life of servitude. But if you take whichever one you take, you're now journeying towards it. Do they come from all over the place? They sure do. They sure do. Andy, you're asking about the story, and maybe I did clear it up or as to what it meant, the man knocking at the door and yelling at the Buddha, the holy man. We say Buddha, some say holy man. He's taken a path of spirituality and vowed to be good and kind to all things, including himself. We call him the holy man, and he's awakened and connected to all that there is, like you are. He's just aware of it. So the story is that the man came over and he was sort of offering the Buddha his mood, his temperament, his bad idea, whatever it was. And the Buddha rejected it and says, you know what, that anger and that sourness belongs to you. Please keep it. Don't offer me none. Because he doesn't want to be a part of it. And he doesn't want you to alter, change your day. Like you get pulled over at the side of the road. You have two ways to deal with this. You could yell and holler and scream, or you could just say, okay, I am here. This is done. Let's deal with it. How do we get through this the fastest way possible? There's another way, because the yelling and the hollering and screaming is not going to work out in your favor in most situations. And I'm not talking being with the police. I'm talking with your spouse or with the teacher or, you know, the weather, I don't know. It won't work out in your favor. So there's a middle way of looking at it, and that's by taking the easiest path out. Get away from it as soon as you can. That man that was knocking at my door with that anger that he's trying to present to me, the best thing I could do is move away from it as soon as I can. This is how we protect who we are, and you don't jump into somebody else's pool and think you're not going to get wet. So don't do it. Shut it down. And that's what the story was all about. And just to say, you don't necessarily have to take on another person's anger or another person's view or path through life. And we don't know why they're angry, so we're not about to fix it. That's another thing. You shouldn't be trying to fix people if you're not that fixer. If I'm a mechanic, bring me the car. I know a lot about it. I'm an electrician. I could come to your house and do all these amazing things electrically. But, you know, I probably won't even know how to lock the door after that, simply because I'm focused in one area. That's my specialty. So when somebody comes to you and they're bringing you their problem, sometimes it's just best that you listen. You know, pat them on the head, offer them a beer, a cup of tea, whatever it may be, and don't try to fix the problem, because you will never truly understand it. Though we tend to always think we know more than the next, and that's the biggest wrong you could possibly imagine. We have a couple of happy Easter here. Thank you very much, saying happy Easter to Barrington. I appreciate that. It's a good weekend for me. I did a lot. Hang out with the family was the best part. And like I said, the show we're doing today, we started thinking or talking about it yesterday about thinking and where do we get our thoughts from? And of course, I've gone through saying that if you and I are getting the same thought at the same time, you can't consider it to be unique or to be personal. It's a thought. It's out there. You know, when we walk out into the falling rain and the drop hits us, we don't really think for a second that, you know, it was designed for me. No, you're just out there. You're just out there and rain falls because that's what it does. And you are going to go and you are going to feel it. The thoughts are pretty much the same thing. They just come out and they're there and they bump into you. Now you have the choice of choosing how to take this on. You have the choice of choosing whether or not I keep it or let it go. Oh man, that's a crazy one. Oh, no way. I would never forget that. And all those things that comes along with that. But if it's a wonderful idea and you think you will see how it could benefit your life, by all means, take a picture of it and put it in your brain and within time it shows up at your front door. And hope it's not that angry man, because you need to be careful of what you hope for. And if the thoughts come in and you pick the good ones, don't have ill will about anybody, because what you're doing in the midst of all that is thinking negative. And that has an impact on you. When you start thinking of hurt to another person or you know, fired or whatever, you're thinking negative. You're thinking negative. And the thinking, the negative thoughts, they will impact you. I've always said, and if you're going to order something negative towards another person, remember, the deliverer only has your address. So you're first going to get that package. So don't be doing that. Your thoughts are very powerful, very, very, very powerful, to the point I don't think a lot of people even realize how powerful the thoughts are, because that's where everything begins. It's the thought that's going to make you sick because you think you're sick. But it's also the thought that's going to make you well because you've told yourself that you're well or rich or skinny. I don't know if you could use that to grow any bit to change your physical size. Why not? It's the thought that it's very powerful. And we need to address it according to that's the mighty beast of it all. That's where it begins. You want to be a musician? You want to be a drummer? You want to be a dancer? You want to be the principal? Whatever it is that you choose. It begins with the thought. And they're out there. And it also has a lot to do with the environment that you're part of. If you're getting a lot of these, I want to do bad, negative things, you're probably hanging out in a bad area. Now, if you're the eagle and you're flocking with the pigs, you're missing out. You're not going to soar like that eagle when you're busy flocking with the turkeys. So you need to find that path that belongs to you. Open the door and move towards the greatness that you could become. Remember now, it's not your job to turn around and fix those turkeys, the birds. You're supposed to just let it be. If there were going to be eagles, they'd fly with you. But they're content in being next Thanksgiving's dinner, I think. So you will change your attitude. And in doing that, it will change your everything about your life. How do you get up on your feet? How do you change the pattern? You need to take a look at the things that you want. Physically make an image of it and put it in your path. And every time you see it, you crack a smile and say, "Oh, right, that's where I'm going. That's where I'm going. Oh, yeah, by the way, that's where I'm going." And by telling the thoughts will tell the brain to deliver the message to your heart, and boom, you're on your way. Wake up. Wake up. So it's critical what you think about. If you think about gloom and doom, that's where you are. If you think about positivity, that's where you are. And it's very important that we always think positive. See the good in everything. Make sure the glass you're looking at is always half full, Forget about the rest of the other thoughts on that one. You have to see the goodness in all things. More importantly, you need to recognize the goodness in you. And when you try to do that and you can't put your finger on that thing that you can identify as the goodness that's in within you, you need to take another deeper look, because there's incredible amount of goodness in you. Are you the great father? Are you the great teacher? Are you the good mechanic? There's a lot of good, and we overlook that to blame it on something else. When we're going down the rabbit hole, substance abuse will follow us because we're in the gloom and doom mode. You do have that ability within you to change that. And this is why we say your thoughts will make you who you are. Your thoughts has made you who you are. Wake up to a reality of being in full control of who you are. Thoughts will come and thoughts will go. The ones you choose to hang on to is what's going to determine where you end up. And if you're constantly bouncing from one to the next, try to imagine what it would be like as a feather in the windstorm. You're just being influenced by the strongest current at that moment. Should the wind stop blowing, you're going to fall flat. And if it blows again, you're going to be up and going in the direction that it wants you to send you. If you are in control of your thoughts, you create this position or spot or place or thing that you want to accomplish. See it. It will happen. It will happen. You're listening to Barrington on Reality Radio 101. We're talking today. Sorry, we're having a bit of problem with the sound system here, or sorry, the internet, because we're doing this via Zoom, but things do happen. We have a book called Awaken and Ascension Guide. It aligns you to your true purpose. I want you to check it out. It's a good read. It helps you to open the doors to your own happiness and the future that could be the one that you've been searching for the longest time. I thank all those who take the time to send us an email from a message from time to time. They ask questions, and I try my best to get through them and answer most of them as best as I can. I appreciate you've taken the time, and your questions are always answered. You could see us on the web, HEAMI Barrington Awaken. If you want to send an email to me personally, awaken 1308@gmail.com. You want to check out some of her stuff on YouTube? It's Barrington Awaken on the YouTube. You get there, type in Barrington Awaken, and it will pop up along with a lot of other people who are trying to spread spirituality. Yay for them, for us, for everybody. Have we got anything else there, sir?
And we have a couple emails here. Sam and John just wanted to wish you a happy Easter. That's all they put. But Greg writes in and says, okay, Barrington, what does Easter mean to you actually, if anything, besides visitation and a meal? That's from Greg. Back to you.
Greg, that's a good one. It's interesting. I was brought up in that faith where we believed in the crucifixion and the resurrection and Easter being, you know, the holidays. And as I got older, I met a lot of other people who celebrate a holiday close to the Easter time, Passovers, and got to understand how they see it. So I was raised with it. And at a very young age, I would have thought, yes, Jesus died on the cross for my sins and you know, did all the things that the Bible talks about, and we're going to go to heaven and live happily ever after if we follow his teachings and stuff like that. So I was raised with all of that. And of course, the holidays were amazing. They're amazing because you get some time off, more time for family. Now, do we practice? And I was saying earlier before the show started, our family, our tradition has always been, we have this big meal, get together, talk, and do what we do. And before we would dine, we would grace and say a prayer at the food and bless the hands that made the food and hope it goes down well and the creativity that went behind it, yada, yada. And we had a wonderful time. Now, this was a tradition that I was raised with. And I'm now realizing, getting on in years, that because a part of me believes that tradition is peer pressure from the past. So because it was done by my great grandparents and my grandparents and my parents, then I should carry it on. But we are here now where we're having a choice not to do it because a lot of us don't really see it as it was laid out to. It was laid out for back in the days. What it means to me today is I get some time off, I get to relax, I get to hang out with my whole family, I put my foot, it's a holiday. Put my foot up and relax, I'm taking it easy. But do I think about, and another thing, growing up, no matter what happened to us at Easter weekend, we could never miss watching the Ten Commandments. That was our staple. I think we had more of that than we had food. Anyway, so that was just part of the things that grow as I was growing up, but things change, traditions change, life changes, and you have to embrace yourself towards it. What it means to me today is a wonderful holiday. I hope I'm not disrespecting anybody who believes and follows the truth and all of that. I was raised with it. I had to go do the church thing and fish and, you know, and it was great. But when I got to a point in my life where I realized maybe it's not for me, then I cheated and hold on to the benefits of what it represents today. So to answer your question, what it represents to me, it's a holiday. And I know the cause or the reason for the holiday. John, and thank you very much for the happy Easter request, happy holidays, whatever the case may be. And I said again, I hope I'm not disrespecting anyone who this is what they do. That's their tradition, and it's real. Of course, it's real because you say it is. I'm not trying to downplay it or saying it's not right. You know, it's just what it is. You know, I don't hunt. I don't think it's a bad idea, and I don't hate hunters. I just don't hunt. It's not for me. Anyway, so that's a part of all of that. I hope it made sense, and thank you all, and hope you're having a wonderful day, time out there, enjoying your holiday, or your Easter, or your Passover, or Ramadan, or whatever it is that you do. Appreciating all of that, because we need to be tolerant of everybody and respect everyone equally, because everybody you meet is your brother or your sister. You may not agree with that. Everybody you meet has the same thoughts as you at some point. Maybe not that particular moment, but if they're on the same path as you or in the same neighborhood as you, you know, you're tied by family, work, acquaintance, clubs, whatever it is, at some point you're in the same room when that thought's being delivered. And there's at some point you both had the same thoughts at the same time because it was being delivered at that moment. When it comes in, you dismiss it, you know, that's not for me, or you hold on to it and says, hey, that's a brilliant thing. I'm gonna follow it. If we learn to be tolerant of everyone, we're doing ourselves a great favor. It's hard to imagine because a lot of us see it differently, and a lot of us see it as some are not as worthy or not as high or not as, you know. But the thing is, you're all on the same plane. What's different is your thoughts. We went into how a group of people could collectively create a thought and hold on to it, and it's a negative thing. Like we talked briefly about when you enslaved somebody and they've been enslaved for so long, their only thoughts is what it's like to be a slave and not try to get out of that realm or situation, or the masters or the hunters, you know, or the scientist, because you are in this area and you're picking up on everything that's in that area. You become a part of it. I've heard many times that if you kidnap somebody and hold them hostage for a very long time, eventually they become your friend, or they will love you, because at that moment you are the only reason why they're alive, so they will believe in you. I had forgotten about the horrible situation that had brought them there to begin with. When you're in that predicament, it's a matter of changing your attitude towards it and changing your thoughts. I don't say that you could do that to break the chains if you're locked up, but I could say they could capture your body, but they can't hold your mind. And you will have to at some point figure out the best way to deal with the situation that you're in. Whew. the thoughts come in, and I have a little note here. It's one of the analogies I want to throw out there. It's kind of how you react to them. They're everywhere, right? So imagine yourself walking into a department store that sells clothes, and you have none. And you're, well, let's say you have enough just to go to the store without getting arrested. So you go into the store, and you buy the clothes that best represents who you think you are. And you'll buy this nice pair of jeans or a dress, or, and you fill your closet with all these clothes, right? A lot of them will be, you know, close to each other, maybe the same style. I don't think you have, beside that three-piece suit, you have Bozo the Clown's outfit. I don't think so. You might, but I hope not. Anyway, so what we're saying here is that because you filled your closet with all the clothes that you've just purchased, from day to day you take one out, put it on, and you wear it, and this is who you are. The next day you'll take another one out, and so on until it's laundry day, and then you repeat the process forever, and this becomes you. Your thought patterns really work the same way. So imagine going into your closet today and you're picking out that, you know, I'm going to do this positive thing today, and you pick that thought and you run along with it. Well, if you don't put it back and you hold on to it, you'll always be in that realm of doing that same thing. But because we pick what we like, some of us, or we think it's in our favor, we pick the muscular physique, we pick the high-end job, the fancy cars, and we load our closet with all of those, and that becomes who we are. It's a reflection of who you are and the things that you've brought in to put into that closet. The thoughts are the same thing. They're out there, like that department store that sells clothing, and you'd bought a whole bunch because of the ones you're in favor of. You didn't buy the, you know, another type that doesn't match who you think you are. Because of the choices that you've made, you've selected this batch to represent you throughout your life. And those are your thoughts. Well, if you need to change it, you're not loving the colors anymore, or they're outdated, or have gone out of style, because that could happen as well. It's time to just change the thoughts and change what's in the closet. Change what you've got hanging on the rack. And that by doing that, it's a change of attitude. This is how we create change from what we know. If you had an evil thought, it is going to leave an image in your mind. And that image is coming to, you're going towards it physically, and it's coming towards you. And eventually, bang, it becomes you because you've held it there. So the idea behind all of this is not to have that negative, bad image, and no one can tell you what that is except yourself. Well, we could say you're bad, but that's judgment. We shouldn't be doing that. We're just going to avoid you because you're angry or you're mad. We don't know your purpose, therefore we can't tell how you're supposed to act and be. And by me trying to convince you to live your life my way, it's quite egoic, because I'm thinking mine's better than yours, ignorantly enough, not understanding. I don't even know what yours should be. So it's not to fix, it's just to leave it be. Separate yourself from it if it's causing you danger or stress or any of the above. What you hold on to in your mind's eye is going to be what you become. Choose wisely. And, you know, remember that a lot, and I've said this many times, and somebody's accused me before of being repetitive, but it's important that you remember to be careful of what you hope for. Be mindful and see how this new image is going to impact your life. When you see yourself being that star that you know you can be, that you know, be mindful that it's going to change the situation that you're in right now. Okay? If you live inland and you want to be a fisherman, you're going to have to change something about you and then get out there and go fish. You're not catching any in your backyard. You know, you're going to have to go where it is that you desire, where they hang out. But it's all to do with your thoughts and how to do it. Now, we've said earlier, I've dabbled into it a little bit, about how not to have these negative things bombarding you all the time, which is probably impacting your health, your lifestyle, your relationships, maybe your work, all these things. How do you get rid of them? Well, first you need to identify which of these are me, which are not. Well, that's not me. Yeah, I don't need to think about that. Nope. Oh yeah, that's me. And take that one. That's not me. So you remove what's not you, what you know for sure is not you. It's a thought that you don't want. That ugly coat that's in the closet, get rid of it. It's not doing any good for anybody. Well, give it to another person. They may enjoy it. But the point being is that your thoughts are collected by you. And they're kept wherever you keep them, in your thought closet. And occasionally we go in there and we clean it out. And sometimes we realize some of these things are definitely not you. And it's time to move on and create something different. How do we change that? How do we get on the path? Now, I also want to, I may have mentioned it earlier, but your thoughts are also making you sick or making you healthy. I don't know that anybody out there collectively would choose to be sick. Unless you're trying to get out of jury duty or something. I don't know. I made that up. Please don't hold me to that. But nobody on the average is going to plan to be sick. And I think everyone out there wants to be healthy if they are sick. And all of this begins with the pattern that you've set for yourself, that you've brought in. And you go for it with gusto. Because as you move towards it, it's moving towards you. Your thoughts are not an individual thing. It runs in your community, it runs in your neighborhood, it runs in your house, and everybody in the house. And if, like I said, if you've had a spouse for a very long time, you guys are sitting beside each other, at that minute, that second, you both had the same thought. Well, because you've somehow connected. But all the thoughts are out there, and they will come to you. And choose wisely the ones that you want to hold on to. That's my thought. Anyway. So we're talking about now the ability to remove. Now, meditation, and I've said this all the time, and a lot of people react to it on the meditative side, and a lot of people say it's good. And you need to try it and do it. And the more you do it, the longer you're doing it for, the better you become at it. And then the better you are, now you realize all these thoughts are coming towards you and giving you all these different ideas, different perspective, different methods to cope with life. They will come, but you probably can't do them all. You can't really collectively, like, you know how you can't look in two eyes at the same time or multitask, but we all think we can. The thought process is also just one at a time. You can really only concentrate on one thing at a time. Don't try to do two. You'll hurt yourself. But the thoughts will come in, and how you react to them, of course, is going to impact who you become or who you are. Meditating then allows you to zero in on none whatsoever. Don't think of anything. They will come. They will come. Like I said, if you're outside in the rain and you don't have an umbrella, you're going to get wet. This is just how life is. But you do not have to follow them down the rabbit hole. You do not have to react to them. You do not have to, get this brilliant idea. When you're in the meditative state, you want to be connected to the universe. That's where everything is coming from. That's where everything exists, the knowledge. We've said many times, are there new thoughts? Well, no, they're not new. But when you've created something, it will create its own ideas. When you have a chair, somebody will look at the chair and go, oh, we should make it bigger and call it a bench. Or, if we put cushion on it, we could call it a sofa. And this is how we evolved. I was having a conversation the other day with a friend of mine about the Civil War, and the technology that we have today is so much more advanced than what was available back then. Because we are evolving and we're growing, we're getting better idea. Somebody at some point had to invent a phone, and it eventually becomes what we're dealing with today. Or somebody at some point had to have a thought of having a weapon, like a gun. And then, of course, from that evolves to what we have today. So it starts somewhere, and it's an idea, and it was a thought. The chair you're sitting on, if you're doing that, it was a thought from somebody. And like I said, it was a four-legged chair, maybe one, and then eventually becomes this lazy boy that tilts back, and you can now sit in front of your television and watch 1,000 channels. So we are growing. The thoughts will always be the same, and you will see a new way to improve something else. But the thoughts will come in. When you're meditating, what we're trying to do is not to have us running down that rabbit hole on that one thought, be it good or bad. Well, preferably good. you're allowing yourself to be connected or to the inner self of you. We're nothing but the breath, right? All we are is nothing but the breath. And of course, you can equate that to just a thought. Yes, you're just a thought. You might not want to agree with that, but that's all that we are in the universe. You're nothing but the breath. We're just occupying space in the body, which is what goes back to being the soul. We're just occupying space in this body. It gives us a free ride for 75, 80, maybe 100 years, you know. But all we are is just the breath. And with that, we create this body that we carry around. And with that idea, because before that, we couldn't touch, we couldn't feel, we couldn't smell, we couldn't lift, we couldn't do anything. We were just a breath of air and a thought. Now we're human beings and we're in a flesh and we're trying to do many different things. And by the way, when you get to an age where this is no longer what you want to do, you lay it down, you know, we've talked about that. All those ideas goes with it. The evil thoughts, the badness, the hate, the anger, all of it, the ego gets buried or burnt, whatever people are choosing to do nowadays. So just thought I would say that. Do we have any more emails before?
We just have one more, actually, just one more from Francis. Says, I don't know if Francis is a guy or a girl, but Francis says, happy Easter to you. I am enjoying the show from Sacramento, California this afternoon. And that's from Francis. Back to you.
Thank you, Francis. Actually, you're right. I don't know. I've known Francis being a guy and a girl. Anyway, thank you very much for that. Happy Easter to all. And again, I went on a rant today about Easter and the holidays, what it meant to me. And I hope I wasn't offending anybody. I was just stating what I feel. It's my opinion. And a lot of the times you have to come to conclude that another person's opinion of you or your ideas is really none of your business. This is how I look at it. But thank you all for happy Easter and sending it. And I hope the same for you. I hope you go out and do wonderful things for the Easter holiday. And it means a lot to you. And, you know, say a prayer if you need to. That's what I'm saying. So the last couple of things I want to talk about. Again, I can't say enough how important it is for you to spend some time with yourself. And if you want to chop out a little window to create a moment that is your moment, please don't give up that opportunity. When you're doing this, you could set yourself on meditation. Now, I haven't said, or I got a little bit of lip over this in the week, as to how long it's going to take to get you into a realized state of life, state of mind, awakened state of mind. Well, that's relative to you and how devoted you are to practicing. When we went to school, I remember going for 8 years, but it was part-time. And it was interesting. It was very interesting. I wanted to go. I didn't want to leave, but I had to because I moved and a whole bunch of other things. But the point being, it's a journey. It is a journey. And again, there's no prize at the end of this journey. The great part of the journey is the journey. As you progress and you see the things that you've accomplished and the growth that you've brought to yourself and the happiness that's within your heart, the constant happiness within your heart, you want to be a part of that. And you stay with it. You stay with it. You stay with it. So meditation brings you into that path. And I want to say the path of righteousness, but people don't like me using that phrase. But it brings you into the path. And from there, you grow to become who you want to be. And you have the ability, the package that you are, the package that you represent, has in it to create the greatest person ever. You have that. Or the richest, or the biggest, or you have that. It's all depending on how much effort you're willing to put in to materialize it. Sometimes, you know, enjoy the music and do the dance. You don't necessarily need to play the instrument. Meaning, enjoy what you can enjoy out of life and be happy. Enjoy the music and enjoy the dance. Somebody else was fashioned to play the instrument. So be it. If it's not you, that's life. We're all a part of this big blue marble that's in space. Anyway, meditate if you can. and take some time for yourself. Look at your quality of life, and you have the ability within you to create greatness, because that's what you are. And it's a miracle that has brought us to this point. Remember, practice spending some time and you're by yourself, for yourself, just to maintain the true you, just to learn and understand who are you. I thank you very much for being a part of the show. I thank you very much for participating. Remember, this show will repeat itself Thursday at 10 p.m., same place. And on that note, I'm going to wish you all a happy Easter and talk to you next time. Namaste.
Thank you for listening to Barrington Awaken with your host Barrington, right here on Reality Radio 101.